Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. And let me begin by saying that I thought the last meeting we all did a good job sticking to the schedule as best we could. Questions were good, comments were good, and I appreciated your willingness to do all the things that we did. And frankly, I would like to be able to end this meeting by thinking the same thing, that we continue on in the process the way we were doing it the other evening. I think it worked out fairly well. Item two, at the end of the session, I would like to ask the county administrator to talk a little bit about tax cap calculation. We have been informed by the controller of New York State that they are looking at a new way to calculate the tax cap. And given the fact that New York State instructions are always in a state of flux, I mean, we could have gotten this yesterday, and today it might be different. Joe will give us a little talk about it at the end of the voting session. So keep that on your agenda also. Kevin, is there anything you wanted to say beginning?
Chair, I handed out four documents. One is an updated version of the schedule for tonight. It includes the yes and no votes, the voting, so you can tally them yourself if you want. That's pretty self-explanatory. The other document, it's also on legal size paper. It's got some colors and everything related to it. Those are the changes that were made. The orange cells show changes that were made to the budget, which reflects the levy at the top. So it says 3.63 at the top. After Tuesday's meeting, this is where the levy currently sits, and it's based on everything that changed in orange. There's a faded pink, those are the OTRs that that the county administrator did not support. And, yeah. There's also a summary sheet of comparison of tentative to proposed up to date. And I'll display that on the screen as we go along tonight.
Anything else, Kevin?
Things that you have done.
Okay. One thing I neglected to tell you: we have another meeting scheduled for 5:30 on the 30th, and at the end of this process today, if we can end up walking out here with a recommendation of the EDC, we would have a special legislature meeting on 5:30 on Monday. If our discussion on these items continue on to Monday, then we would try to finish up on Monday on this and then reconvene as a special legislature meeting, or Tuesday, the 30th, I'm sorry, Tuesday, the 30th, and that would make the recommendation to the full legislature on the attendance budget. Any questions? Tuesday. Yeah.
Why do we need a special meeting?
Ms. Covert, you want to answer that?
Following this process, the legislature passes a resolution to adopt the tentative budget, which includes all the amendments that have been made at the expanded budget committee meeting.
But couldn't we do that at our regular legislative meeting?
Why not? No, because we need to advertise for the public hearing. The legal notice needs to be done prior to that meeting.
Well, can't we set the public notice for a meeting when we... we change the date of the public hearing?
Well, typically we publish on Wednesdays, and I think that's when everybody looks for those public notices. I would hate to change it this one time and publish it on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday, is my only concern.
So
Wednesday the 7th is the latest we can have it published to advertise our public hearing for the 13th.
Does the public hearing have to be the 13th?
You've already scheduled it for the 13th.
We could also change it. It seems like we're being driven to have a special meeting because of the public hearing date. It just feels funny.
Martha, you had your hand up.
It's all complicated because on Tuesday the 6th would normally be a legislature meeting. We could pass it that night and then publish it the next day, but that's election night, so we switch our legislature meeting. So that's part of the problem.
Leslie.
Jim, there are two things. So is there a reason why we can't do this on the following legislature meeting, which is on our regularly scheduled date? I'm just trying to understand.
Well, the first thing, we've set the public hearing for the 13th. Also, what we would need to do, we're under a time crunch to get the budget approved by a certain point so that things can be printed and all of that that goes into what happens after the budget is done. So we've looked at this schedule and compressed it as much as we can, and clearly the reason there are three meetings to vote on, the third meeting, what could have been a voting meeting and a legislature meeting. That's why I had asked you all to commit to three meetings for voting meetings. Brian?
I know you wanted to wait till the end as far as the adjustments to the cap information. However, that information may weigh on me as we go through tonight. But I mean, if you could just say it's good or it's not.
You want me to go through?
That'd be good enough for now.
Okay.
Can I ask a timing question before you go into the description?
Yeah, why not?
Thanks. Can you review one more time what you were saying about the meeting on Tuesday and what the options were, and then Kathy's comment about publishing and when the public hearing would be?
Right. What I've suggested is that we have a special legislature meeting on Tuesday at 5:30 to accept the recommendation of the EBC and set it for the public hearing. We have set a public hearing on the 13th already, and because of the confluence of election and legislature, normally there's a problem with that. Now, Kathy, would you please repeat what you just said on printing and all that?
The legislature at the October 16th legislature meeting approved a resolution to hold a public hearing on Tuesday, November 13th. We need to, by law, publish a legal notice in the Ithaca Journal at the latest November 7th, which is a Wednesday, the same day the legislature meets for their next regular scheduled meeting. By publishing that legal notice, you are if you pass the resolution to adopt the tentative budget, that's what the public, you know, that's the budget you're sending for the public hearing. November 7th is a Wednesday. Typically, we do meet on the first and third Tuesdays. But because of Election Day, we are meeting the following day.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. So the public hearing, what time is the public hearing on the 13th?
At 7 p.m.
And is it assumed that after the public hearing, as we have done in the past, then we will go into session to vote on the budget?
Not that evening. I believe it is anticipated
the
20th, November 20th.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Lovely. Thank you, Kathy.
I'm sure I ask the same question every year. After the public hearing, the voting night, there is still an opportunity for amendments to the budget. Is that correct?
As far as I'm concerned, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then this doesn't have anything to do with the budget. It's just an announcement before I forget. Can I make an announcement?
Yeah.
I saw this card, and I just wanted to say to folks, in the event that you haven't had an opportunity to sign the big card that the Keogh Reader Group had put out there for Officer Anthony Augustine, it will be at GF tomorrow, sometime between 3 and 5, no, 4 tomorrow. Please stop by and sign it if you haven't had an opportunity, those of you here and those of you watching us on television. Thank you.
Brian, in response to your desire to put this up now, the reason I wanted to do it at the end was my conversations with Joe, and obviously you've had a conversation with him also, is that the numbers are in flux, okay? And they're, it's not, I don't want to classify it as it's better or worse. I don't think we know because all those things change from hour to hour, day to day. But, Joe, if you want to.
Well, if the concern is that this is bad news, that this will make us higher over the cap, it is very early in trying to figure this whole thing out. But it looks like this will not hurt us. If anything, it could help us a little bit. Okay? So it's not going to take us from where we are now, which is a hair over the way we've calculated cap, to way over or anything like that. If anything, it should cut the other way. And I'll give 30 seconds on what this new thing is, and it's brand new interpretation that was put out there about a week ago and caught everybody off guard. Our levy is our levy. Our levy is expenses minus revenues equals levy. Very simple. And the cap says you can raise that levy by 2% with some adjustments. The new interpretation says our levy isn't really our levy. That our levy is our levy minus any sales taxes the towns get and choose to apply as a credit against our levy. That's our levy, the net of that, which we are all scratching our heads because we have no control over that at all. So in looking at the numbers, again, it looks like in the case of 2013, this new way of looking at a cap on net levy will not hurt us. The concern is, in another year, it could be devastating. So if sales tax were to drop, if a town were to go from taking their sales tax as a credit to taking in cash, things that are so far beyond our control, it's ridiculous to put it into the formula. Those will be a factor in this formula. So again, I think the bottom line, Brian, was your question is, is there something scary out there that we got to know that's really going to set us on our heels with respect to cap? That's not what we're seeing. We do want time, though, to make sure we fully understand this new way of looking at cap, and every county is right now where we are trying to do just that.
I have Will from before and then Pam. Go ahead, Will.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Joe. Jim, I would like either now or when we are finished with this process to very quickly walk us and remind us the process by which we will arrive at a final decision and what the default is at any given point. My understanding, for example, based on memory, is that if we cannot come to an agreement, get 8 votes for something, it at this point defaults to Joe's budget.
But that will change,
and if we can walk through the steps.
Okay. At some point. Yeah. You want to do that now or at the end?
Whenever you think is the
right time.
Yeah, I
think at the end would be fine.
Okay. Pam?
I just wanted to ask, whose interpretation is this?
It's the Office of the State Comptroller. And really, it's just a very peculiar thing. counties that abided by the cap, that said they would stay within cap last year, were audited by the State Comptroller's Office, and everybody calculated it the way we did, and everybody survived audits. And this is an interpretation that's come about over the last. I guess it was said that sometime back in September, this first began to appear in an FAQ and was picked up by somebody, and now there is a, we've been told that this is the way to interpret the tax cap. So again, I mean, it's hard enough for people to understand how a 2% cap cannot be a 2% cap, right? And now we have to explain how a 2% cap is not a 2% cap and a levy is not a levy, and still assure people that we are disciplined in the way we approach our budget.
And that we know what we're talking about.
And that we know what we're talking about, which is important, too.
Martha and Pat, and then I seriously like to move on.
And it's extremely comforting to hear the comptroller going around the state saying he will be happy to help us local governments who are having trouble with our budget. So, but now NYSAC is opposing this or is still trying to figure out what it means?
I understand that NYSAC is opposing it. NYSAC first intervened to make sure that we all understood and they understood what it meant, because their first response was that that can't be. It was picked up in a newspaper, I think, and NYSAC's response was it can't be. So I believe they're trying to impose some rationality here, but I don't know where it's going to get.
Pat.
So could you just confirm for me, after all this discussion, what do we at this point in time regard as our cap?
Well, I think that the best way to look at it is the way we have looked at it, and that is that the way we've calculated cap, the same way we did last year, is that our cap was 3.15%.
Right.
It's in your book. And our levy, as proposed, was 3.48%.
And did you just say 3.5?
3.15.
3.15.
Yeah. So we're a bit above cap right now with the recommended budget.
Section 2, page 9, has that information of your budget book.
Okay. Thank you.
I think we're ready to go. If everyone would cast their eyes down to 1, 2, 3, about 7 from the bottom, remove sustainability planner, and it was tabled. So if we want to get that back on the floor and deal with it, someone can make a motion.
I would not make a motion. The city was going to vote on this October 30th. So what? If we can leave it, is that?
Fine.
In other words, we don't have any new information.
Right.
Fine with me. Next one.
Excuse me, could I ask Martha, does the city vote in the daytime or at night?
At nighttime.
Because we're having the October 30th meeting at 5:30, so we still won't know.
You can table it until afterward,
until we know.
It's an amendment to your amended budget.
Right.
Dooley, a OTR 82, new services, restore 4 or 5 programs to target for $25,000 local dollar amount.
Yes, and
would you move it?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Frank.
And say that since Amy collapsed the fourth and fifth priorities into a new fourth priority, I guess what I would be moving is 4 of 4 for that same amount.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The budget book listed 5 different programs.
Right.
In priority order. The most recent communication I have in my folder lists 4, but that from Amy, and that was arrived at, I believe, by putting numbers 4 and 5 into a new number 4 in terms of prioritizing. So the description of what I think I'm moving is 4 of 4 now.
Oh, 4, okay. 4 of 4, but it's still the same dollar amount.
It's the same dollar amount.
Okay, 4 of 4. Questions for Dooley or Amy, who is here? Martha?
Yes, I'm sorry. I must not. I don't know what you mean, Dooley. Page 410. 4 of 4, 10.
We received in an email Amy's response. Peter Stein had requested to list and rank order the pieces or the funding for the priorities within that, or what they would recommend we fund top, middle, bottom. And in that, Amy did collapse the fourth and fifth into essentially one priority, which was the fourth priority.
All right, maybe I didn't get the email, but
I didn't know.
I've got priority four is $30,000 and priority five is $9,700.
So now we're talking about two different things. So priority four in your book, there are five programs within priority four.
Okay.
So we're talking about those five programs right now within priority four.
Okay.
So of those five programs, Dooley is suggesting that we restore $25,000 of the $30,000 to cover the first four programs.
And would you remind me which in what's Amy, the order then?
Amy, can you?
Thank you.
I can't find it. Okay. The four programs would be $9,000 for Bridges Youth and Families, which is the anger management
piece.
Can you
see that a little slowly?
Yep. It's the Bridges Youth and Families anger management programming.
And is this your priority?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So there's $9,000 there. Mm-hmm. Priority two was $6,000 for Cornell Cooperative Extension's 4-H Urban Outreach Program. Priority three was $5,000 for LearningWeb's Youth Outreach. And then priority four, the committee felt that they couldn't decide which one of these programs would rise to the top. So they're recommending that both be included in priority four, which would be $5,000 each to the Learning Career and Community Exploration Program, or SEEP, and the Ithaca Youth Bureau's Youth Employment Services.
Any other questions?
Okay, so that's collapsed a little differently than what I just heard as an explanation. So you are putting together the YB's Youth Employment and the Learning Web Apprenticeship Program. Thank you.
Yes.
And the dollar amount I'm moving doesn't cover it all, but it would be up to Amy and her board to decide how to use it.
Anyone else? Are we ready?
Leslie, you've got the next one on the page here says $20,000.
Yeah, that was a May for me before I got all the information. Now I've gotten all the information. I think I'm still there. I'd like to offer an amendment. Oh, sorry, you had the floor.
My question is, were you still interested in the 20, or did you change your mind to 25?
No, I'm still interested in the 20.
And Brian, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I got this. For figuring, I'm looking at priority four and five, which total up to 39.7.
Right.
Right.
This is only priority four. This is the agency piece, which is 30,000, and then priority five, or PR five, I guess we'll switch the language there.
Okay.
Is for the Municipal Youth Service System.
Okay, but you're lumping them all together.
No.
Look at four.
Priority four.
I got four.
Four had five
divided part. Just divided into
five. Okay. All right.
And I guess I'm assuming you all know how valuable these programs are. They are more examples of how spending some money now saves us a lot of money in the future, helps keep people out of trouble. All of the good things that we like to do.
Peter, you have your hand up.
Yeah. I may have missed this. If I am, I apologize. But to what extent, Leslin, is there are things in common between your next resolution and the one that's just that's on the table? Will that be a different set of programs for $20,000 that you're going to be adding to it, or are some of them included in your $20,000?
Some of them are included in my.
So, do you know how much your $20,000 is going to turn into? I mean, if this one passes.
I know where my $20,000. If I can offer an amendment, I'll just put it out on the table so people know. So, all right. So, I'd like to amend Dooley's motion to $20,000 for whatever that OTR number is for the youth. Services, OTR 82, and in this, I'm not going to order them. Bridges for Youth and Families, $5,000. The Ithaca Youth Bureau's Youth Employment Service, $5,000. The Learning Web's Outreach Program, $5,000. And the Colonel Quabbin Extension Urban Outreach, $5,000.
So is there a second to that? Pam. So you are directing the department, that's how you want the money spent?
That's how I thought about it. I'm not directing, that's how I want it spent, but that's how I thought about it when I decided on $20,000.
So, Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Leslin, in the prior, in Dooley's proposal, I'm on page 410.
Mm-hmm.
In Dooley's proposal, Amy described taking item 4, Learning Web's Youth Outreach, and item 5, the Learning Web's Community and Careers, and collapsing them into one,
mm-hmm.
Even though there's a spread of $3,000 in one case and $5,000 in the other. You're proposing just $5,000 in item 4. You're not going to spread that over item 5 at all?
No.
Or you're going to leave that up to the...
I'm stating what my thinking was when I did that, and I was interested in funding 4 out of the 5 things that was here at $5,000
each. Okay. Can I ask Amy a follow-up? Amy, if I wrote these down correctly, the Bridges program under Dooley's proposal was to get $9,000?
Yes.
And under Leslin's, it's $5,000.
Yes.
How much money do they need to operate that? I mean, are either one of those sufficient to operate a program?
Well, the Bridges program, even with the $9,000, will still be receiving a cut over their 2012 level of about $2,000. So without the Bridges staff here to say that absolutely is enough. But I have had conversations with them of what we would do. So I think that while the $9,000 is probably keeping them nearly whole from 2012, the $5,000 we would have to work with it. They did receive a federal basic grant, so they've been leveraging this funding to bring in a lot more. So there might be ways to work on that.
I mean, what I'm afraid of is the age-old story about throwing somebody who's 15 feet out, a 10-foot rope, even though our heart's in the right place, are we giving so little money that the program, any one of these, aren't going to survive at all?
Right. All of them are, except for the Bridges program, are being held at the 2012 level. That's what our aim is to hold them at the 2012 level.
I think Brian and Leslin. Leslin, you want to go first? Maybe you can.
No, I'm not adding any clarification. I just want to reiterate what I said at the previous meeting. Is that I would love to, you know, these are programs that are close to my heart. The apprenticeship programs, you know, we benefit from, you know, quite a bit. And I'd love to give them all the money I can possibly give them, but I'm also cognizant of the fact that we've added other things to this budget. Here's another addition, and I don't see the places where we're taking away some of, you know, what we've added, and I'm afraid that number is going to go way above where I can support this budget. So I'm giving something, but not as much as I'd love to give.
Let me ask you a question, Amy. The money that we're restoring, is this money that you lost from New York State?
Not entirely. We did take on some cuts to some of our agencies to restore that. We did cut some of our agencies, about $40,000 worth, to build it back. So it's not entirely state cuts. Our state cuts were large, but it's cuts that have occurred over the past 5 to 8 years. So it's not just state, it's county cuts as well.
Brian and then Will.
I had my hand up.
Oh, okay. I will get you. Go ahead, Brian.
Kevin, if we can go back to the one you just had up there.
One before this?
Yeah. Yeah, that. And that was, well, doesn't matter where it came from. I want to know, where did the numbers associated with each program, where did they come from?
During the budget presentation, Peter had asked for us to set up a priority for each of the agencies because they were lumped as a whole, $30,000. So he asked the Youth Services Board, we have a resource allocation committee, to go ahead and prioritize those. So that's where they came from.
But with the amounts? You
yes.
They came from you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Martha and then Will.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I got this from Kevin. Who got it from you, Amy? So my understanding is that the Bridges program without this OTR would get $58,000. Now, and you said that still would, with the OTR of $9,000, it still wouldn't go up to the 2012 level.
Correct.
All right. The other programs, do they need the OTR to get to 2012 level?
No. They are at 2012 level.
So I'm curious, why would you not, in this shuffle here, you're, so in other words, you've put Bridges, you've given them a little more and you've put them at the first priority, but you still haven't made them whole to 2012.
Right. Well, we had to cut somewhere was one of the pieces. We hadn't made them whole to 2012 because they received that federal basic grant.
Right.
And they also have been down on staffing the last 2 years, so they've been returning funding. So we had a conversation with them to say, you know, we want you to continue to do the work, but as long as you're understaffed and not spending the funds, we have to continue to look at that.
Okay. I feel like, Leslyn, that I'd really like to put all this money back, but I don't think we can do that. So, Leslyn, you're 20, but for now I can go with the 20,000, but tell me again which was you said four should get 5,000 each, right?
Right.
And which one did you leave out?
I left out number five on the one that's in our book, the Learning Web's Community Careers Exploration Apprenticeship Program.
Okay, the others each got 5,000.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Will?
And believe it or not, that's my favorite.
So just to clarify, Leslyn, in your motion or your amendment, are you designating those sub-amounts, or are you just saying the total is 20 as opposed to Dooley's 25?
I'm saying that the total is 20, but I know folks will ask me how I came up with that number,
okay.
So I was explaining my rationale.
So you would still defer to Amy to make a final
decision. I'll give you a pot of 20 grand.
And Amy, just so I'm clear, because I thought I understood, but then Martha's question got me confused again. To leave everybody, you had said that you were hoping to have everybody whole. What is the number that keeps everybody whole?
In this OTR, it would be the
11,000.
Yeah, 11,000 and change.
For
Bridges, and everybody else is already whole.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said Brian. Amy, one more clarification.
Sure.
Neither Dooley's proposal nor Leslyn's proposed amendment puts any money back into the Municipal Youth Services
Correct.
Program. Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, Amy, all right now, I'm a little more discombobulated. I'm not using confused. I'm aware that the Bridges program got a grant.
Right.
Maybe I misheard you. I thought the Bridges program was at a level that they can sustain the program because they have been giving back money because they haven't been able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does making Bridges whole then if they're not able to, they're giving back money?
Well, the hope is in 2013... they will hire their new staff and be on board. This piece actually is part of the anger management program that they run. It's in addition to the runaway and homeless services. It's the program that a lot of the schools contract with and a lot of agencies to help with the anger management and the skill building program. So that's what the $9,000 is for, is it would bring that program and restore that.
Girl, let me ask a follow-up.
Sure.
Why are they giving back money? If they still need to make this program, this particular program whole, they have money. Why are they giving it back?
They were giving it back because of not having the staffing. So they had set aside that money for staffing very specific, not to us. I mean, they weren't giving a ton back to us. They were giving it back to the other agencies. And so we were looking at how do we continue to support them, knowing that they have a hiring plan in place, that we've been monitoring them to ensure that they will be whole in 2013.
Thank you. Your best
explanation. Amy, let me use a quote that I've heard several times in the last year. I'm confused. How is her $20,000 different than Dooley's when neither one of them designated where the money goes?
Dooley did.
It's cheaper. That's less money.
Well, yours is 25 and yours is 20, but
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions? Are we ready to vote on this? Yeah, Mark.
So it's $20,000 undesignated within these. You've told us what your priorities are, and then you would use $20,000 to. Okay.
All in favor of Leflin's $20,000 addition, please raise your hand.
At this point,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. On your sheet, we are now keeping score at home. If you look at your document, you too can write down the vote total on the sheet that you have in front of you.
What was the total?
5-7. It failed 7-5.
So now Dooley's is on.
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
It was an amendment.
Yeah, because we probably want to go for a higher amount.
It was an amendment.
Dooley's is out there. Any comments or questions for Dooley's amendment? Frank?
Dooley, none of yours goes for the municipal services either, correct?
It went to the OTR number that's there, just what we were talking about. And I'm pleased to withdraw it at this time. I don't see we have to vote on it since the lower number failed.
No.
You want me to vote on it? We will vote on it. I won't withdraw it.
Are we ready? All in favor of the 25K adjustment, please raise your hand. 1, 2. Poe, 3. Pam, you're a yes?
Yeah.
Poe. It should be 9-3. And that failed.
4.
Will?
So I would move less than 20 figure for another vote.
Reconsider.
Reconsider.
I'm sorry, what did you...
I'm moving Leslin's 20 again. I voted against it for reconsideration.
All right. We need no discussion.
I voted against it.
Please raise your hand if you're in favor of the new motion or the old motion, now new motion, back to 20,000. All in favor, raise your hand, please.
Excuse me, point of order.
Claim it. Go ahead.
I understand Will voted against the original motion. Who seconded Will's motion?
I did.
Okay, did you vote against the original motion, too?
No, she voted for the 20.
These are not the rules of the legislature at our budget meetings.
But
we don't have to do like we do
at our
budget
meetings.
Don't we
still have to follow Robert's rules?
Not in this case, no.
Because the person introducing it is the person who voted
against
it.
That's why it's called the expanded budget committee.
Could I ask for a ruling on that? Well, I can't imagine that we don't have to follow some set of specified rules.
Yeah, I mean, we are following them. Right? Yeah, I mean, we are following them. Martha?
I'm not sure about Robert, but... we've always handled this as a, slightly more informally because we often have in this mix of this expanded budget committee, there often are resolutions that fail at one point and later on they get brought up again. So it gets...
I understand that and I was disturbed by a similar situation that happened at our last meeting. And because of that, I decided that the next time it happened, I was going to bring it up and ask the question. It's inconceivable to me that we can just kind of make up our rules as we go along. And
if
we're not following the regular rules of legislature, I would think that we would have to follow Robert's rules. I don't care if somebody wants to second it.
May I interrupt? I sidebar conference with the clerk of the legislature, what we did is appropriate. It matters who makes the motion, not who seconds the motion.
I said that.
Pam, you had your hand up? Go ahead.
Yes, I did. I for the 7 years that I've been on the legislature, the expanded budget committee meetings have been exactly that. They have been our budget meeting, one of our committee meetings, with all the legislators there, and the general kind of informal way that we work in our budget in our committees have been part of this. And so I do not think that we need to follow Robert's rules here. I think that we need to follow the rules and the procedures and the tradition that we have had in the past of functioning as a budget committee meeting that has all of us here.
Let me just say from this position, after again the sidebar, we do have to follow Robert's rules, and we are, because the person who made the motion was in a position to do that. So I don't really know what else we can do, and I agree with Pam, but, you know, we are following Robert's rules. Martha?
I think, with all due respect to rules of the legislature, it happens over and over again that you'll vote in favor of something, and then the levy gets too high, and you start changing your motions, and or somebody finds something else to subtract, and so the whole configuration changes. I think if we had to keep track of who supported what in the first place, and people had to say, well, I'm going to strategically vote against that so I can later bring it up for reconsideration, I think we would twist ourselves into complete knots and actually do a disservice to the simple, honest transaction of our decision making. I really think, I mean, we're following Robert's rules on everything else. I think this is something that's a rule of our own body. It's always been this way, and I hope we don't get stuck on this.
I think the simplest thing is that we should vote on Will's resolution. And we are following Robert's rule.
I ask if I could respond.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I understand what everyone is saying, is that we've always followed special rules for this. However, there's an implication there, because this has been advertised as a special type of budget committee meeting, and we've just talked here about it being an expanded budget committee meeting. I assume that when we have committee meetings, that we have rules that we have to follow. I don't see that it's so cumbersome to follow some simple rules of procedure. And I accept what you're saying, that we are following Robert's rules, that the person that seconds it doesn't have to be someone that voted against it. I accept that, Jim. But I strongly object to this notion that we can just kind of make up whatever rules we want to for this procedure.
And I would agree with you, and for the life of me, I'm not making up the rules. Peter, go ahead.
Well, I just feel like putting in my two cents on this
to answer
what Martha said and what Pam said and maybe some other people said. I am very uncomfortable in a meeting when you don't know what the rules are, when you have to wait for someone who said, well, we did it the way we did it 4 years ago, before you were there, so that's our rules here. It's informal. We just do it to get to make life easier. I am much more comfortable when I'm not saying, you told me we are following Robert's rules, so that's fine. I'm not arguing against the point on the floor. I'm arguing against the opinion that was expressed, which is that we don't have to follow Robert's rules because we just ought to do what's most convenient. So
we're not going to vote on that person's opinion. It's an opinion.
Yeah, well,
it's
Ithaca. I gave my two cents. Okay.
10 people, 25 opinions. Leslin, go ahead.
Chair, can you please just repeat what rules we're following?
We're following Robert's rules.
Thank
not
you.
Jim's rules, not
Betsy,
anyone else.
Robert's rules. Thank you.
Exactly. Go ahead, Martha, please.
The mechanism that's available to you, Pat and Peter, if you are unhappy with what Jim has said, is to challenge the ruling of the chair, and then we'll vote on that. And, you know, this is a matter of we're us. You know, this is we can decide what the rules are. I think these are the rules we've always used. In fact, I've never even heard the thing about making the motion that you have to be have been on one side or the other to make a subsequent motion because things change, and that's how we've always done it. It's not some sort of chaos or convenience. It's a matter of having the opportunity to weigh things in iterative process that the decision you make yesterday is different than the one you make today because something else in the budget changed. So if you're not satisfied with that, then I suggest you challenge the ruling of the chair, and we'll vote on it.
Really? you're not helping.
Okay. Really? Thank you, Martha.
Go ahead. Peter, did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, I'm afraid I did. Yeah.
We have multiple okay. questions.
I assume Will's motion is on the floor. It's
yeah.
been moved and seconded.
It is.
For 20,000, I'd like to offer an amendment. I'd like to amend it to raise it by $5,000 and the additional $5,000 to go towards the municipal youth services system.
That's a different OTR. You could move a separate motion with the OTR.
That's fine. We'll try it this way first.
Is there a second for his motion?
Sure.
Dave, discussion about his motion.
Can we explain what was the number on Will's that I add 5,000 to?
It was 20, and I'm offering to raise it by 5,000 to 25, but the additional 5 is specific to municipal youth services, which was zeroed out. So I'd like to see some money put back in that.
And I seconded it. I seconded it, but the Municipal Youth Services has a separate OTR number.
That's okay.
And the amount they requested was
$6,600. Am I correct here that you are now designating how the department has to spend the money, Frank?
Yeah, so much for one OTR and so much for another.
Yeah, just like everyone else has prescribed how the 20 or 25,000 would go.
I want to speak for Leslie. She did not prescribe what she was doing. She said, had a dollar amount, and I asked her directly, are you telling the department head where they have to spend the money? And she said, no.
But it's not my motion on the table, it's Will.
Yeah, I understand
Will
that, but you know, we're back to all that. Mike, you have your hand up?
I was just getting frustrated with the back and forth. I just hope we could try to encourage and support the chair of this committee so that we can move through these tonight rapidly and get through it. I think Martha's right. We've been a little loose, but I can certainly remember lots of expanded budget committee meetings when it came down. The only way you could bring it back again was to add a dollar to the motion to make it a new motion. And probably we, you know, that got a little silly too, so we tried to cooperate with each other. Let's just, can't we just move ahead and try to get some of these important votes done?
Yes, we can, but as long as people keep talking about this one, we will not be able to. Martha.
I want to correct something that Frank just said. The OTR 5 for Municipal Youth Services, that OTR was not funded, but there is funding in that system. We're still without the OTR, am I right, Kevin, from what you sent me yesterday?
Yes.
It's $163,940 for 2013. It's $158,858.
What are you talking about?
It is
Municipal Youth Services.
Right, but the local cost is really $147,174.
Okay, it's not zeros.
Frank no, it's not
it
zeros.
Zero. Okay, great, thanks.
The OTR hasn't been supported by Joe's
right.
budget, so there's a zero in that on page, section 4, page 411. There's no support for that OTR.
Right, but there's funding.
There's other funding
significant
available
amount of funding
for that program.
This is correct. Just the
and I didn't say what you said. I said the OTR wasn't funded. So be careful how you phrase things.
I just want people.
Whoa, excuse me. Okay.
Thank you.
I am easily the dumbest guy in the room. I started this meeting by saying, what a wonderful job you did last meeting. That's gone.
Please, take it back, Jim.
Please try to erase that from your memory. Brian.
The figure that you just gave, I know it's been steadily being cut, at least in the last 3 years that mm-hmm. I can remember. 147-something?
Mm-hmm.
How does that compare? Is that maintenance of effort from last year?
Yes.
Okay.
So
for the first time in a long time, that program has not been cut.
Well, the 9,700 is a state aid cut, so that's where that cut comes from. So it is a cut to the system from the state.
Okay. All right.
Anyone else? We have Frank's motion for 25K and whatever it was. All in favor, please raise your hand. For Frank, 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 8. That fails 8-4, and I think we have an original motion, which includes what 25 will.
20. No, it was 40. It was back to 20, and it was unspecified. It was up to the.
Oh,
department.
It's back to okay. 20. And who was your seconder? Leslie
Pam.
Or Pam?
Oh,
so.
Or Leslie. Yeah.
Yeah.
We look alike.
It's 20,000 made by Will, seconded by. Whoever. And Pam or Leslie, one or the other. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? It should be 6.
Who didn't vote?
All in favor, please raise your hand.
This is for $20,000 for youth services.
Yes, $20,000. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tie.
Fails.
It fails.
Wow.
Good job.
10.
What?
Good job.
Who's vice chair of this committee? I have no idea where I am.
I'm bringing it back.
I had McBean Colorborn 20. That one didn't go anywhere, right?
When you now put it like that.
I'm sorry?
Yes, no, it didn't.
Yeah, it went nowhere. Now we have Kiefer Social Services, 0, target 0. I'll support that. You know, Dooley, you want to do something with that?
I'd like to move it the way the budget is written. There's $25,000 of additional cost to make the new cars be hybrids, and there's $25,000 available in various revenues to cover that. So it seems to me that that's an OTR that we should pass, because hybrids are good for our world and in terms of climate change, lower emissions.
Yes.
Not to mention prices.
Joe, is there a second to that? Peter?
No, Mark, I'm not
talking out of
questions.
And we are commenting now on $0. Okay. Peter.
I'm afraid to ask this question because it makes me look both so silly, but how can something like this have $0?
Joe.
Not just you, Peter.
The cost is supported from a couple of sources. There's aid so that the department can claim this and get some aid back on it. But there's also rollover applied. So we are spending money, but out of our reserves are rollovers. And I think the rollover amount applied here is $8,400. So you would be pulling $8,400. I think that's the right number out of rollover.
$8,400.
Yeah, $8,422.
Okay, so it's $800. It's $8,400 instead of zero, right?
Out of reserves. Yes.
Thank you.
It's not out of reserves. Rollover.
Rollover is reserves.
But
so
it's up to the department to use it that
Martha
way.
Martha and then Frank.
I want to tell folks since we traded in our 160,000-mile Subaru and got a Prius, we're averaging 46 miles a gallon. And that's in town. I like never go to the gas station. I think this is really a good investment.
Oh, are we filming a Prius commercial here? Sorry. Frank.
Thanks, Jim. I just want to remind the committee that the discussion we had about youth services and directing money to certain programs, this is similar, isn't it? That we're telling a department how to spend their rollover money? I mean, it seems similar to the one we just discussed, trying to direct the department to spend money. It was youth services in certain areas. Just bringing that to your attention.
Oh, do you want a response to it or no? Julie has her hand up. I'll let her do it.
The department is offering it. They recognize the value of hybrid vehicles. If you look at page 4-354, contribution toward the goals of the county's green fleet policy, which they're a supporter of.
Well, there's other OTRs that also departments recommended that didn't get recommended by the county administrator.
Are we ready to vote on zero? All in favor of Julie's recommendation, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? It must be 10-2. Okay. Peter Stein and Mike, right? You were both no?
That's correct.
Okay.
I thought Mike was no.
Yeah, I have Mike and you.
Because it's actually spending money.
Jim, a clarification. On our list here, it says zero target, but shouldn't it be 8,400 one time, like as in rollover?
Joe, you want to answer that, please?
That's not the way we show rollover. We show it as a negative expenditure, so that's that 54,999 account.
Okay, thanks.
Keeper, OTR 73, TCAT, capital program other than buses, out of one time, 10,000 and change, almost 11,000. Julie, you want to move that?
I do want to move that.
Is there a second, Pam? Discussion, question?
Well, you may remember that we were told when we were getting budget presentation that this expenditure would be matched by the city and Cornell and would bring in, 80% federal money and 10% state money, so that it leverages a lot of money for TCAT and seemed like something we definitely should take advantage of.
Frank.
Thanks, Joe. Joe. Sorry, Jim. I know it's been a confusing evening. If this passes, Joe, can you do me a favor? Steve Thayer asks that you, assuming this passes, that you call him and let him know so they can include it in the city's allocation when they discuss it Monday.
Yeah, and I did let him know today that it is being considered by the legislature, so I will certainly pass it along tomorrow.
Thank you.
And this is one time. Anyone else got a comment on it? All in favor of this, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And anybody opposed? 11. One person opposed, 11. 11-1. Lesson's opposed. Keeper 77, public library, add a librarian, $71,359 to target. Julie, you want to move that?
I want to move it.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Will? Go ahead, Julie.
Well, we all know they need librarians. And you'll also notice that I also have an OTR in for the next time, for the next item. They have a structural deficit. Recognizing that they have both of these needs, I put two of these in for consideration by the legislature. I don't know how many of you go to the library. You can see how backed up things are in terms of shelving You can see how they do not have people at the reference desk all the time. Susan made a strong case, I thought, for these needs.
Peter Stein, Mike Lane.
Despite my strong and firm support for the library, who I think are fundamental to American cities, and I cannot support this. I was appalled at the presentation that the library made, namely that they were living on reserves and it was about to collapse, and I think this is not the time to make commitments to them. I think they have to spend this year, hopefully together with us, trying to figure out some kind of a stable long-term solution for the library. And I think saddling them with extra expenses, this is simply not the right time to do that.
Mike.
I feel somewhat like Peter does. Yes, they need this librarian. They need probably more than one librarian. But their priority here was to help for help for their structural deficit. And that is something that we need to address. And I don't feel that adding the librarian will help that structural deficit at all. And so I can't support it tonight, but I'll look carefully at the next item.
I have Will.
Thank you, Jim. So I second it because I recognize the need is current. I don't know, however, how the library would view it. And I think I see Susan Curry in the background. I was just wondering if she would like to comment on, you know, forced to choose between the two in your priorities.
Well, we do need the librarian. I am, in the long run, I think that working with the legislature on the structural deficit is something that is critical. But if you're asking me, to choose between my children, I don't even have any children. It's very hard to say because, as duly noted, we do not have enough librarians to cover the desk now.
Frank, and then Pam, and then Dooley.
Thanks, Jim. Since it's been brought up, the next item has been brought up, I'd like to ask for just a clarification. The public may not know what we're talking about. Joe, can you define what a structural deficit is?
Frank, can we get to that first?
Well, it may have a bearing on what Susan... the decision that's, or the comments Susan just made.
I thought things gone awry from the beginning, so go ahead, Joe.
I'll probably make that worse.
Yeah.
It's simply the library's expenditures exceed their revenues by a couple $100,000. So they have a budget gap. That's the deficit. And it's structural because if not cured, that will continue for the long haul, probably get worse. So the way that that's being addressed this year is the library is taking money out of its savings account, out of its reserves, to plug that $200,000 gap. Once that $200,000 is spent in 2013, it's gone. It's not there. At least not a full $200,000 will be there in 2014, which is the urgency to start looking at how we can resolve this structural deficit that Susan has talked about.
Thanks, Joe. I just want to make sure the public knew that it had nothing to do with their building.
Why do you know it may?
Well, that's true, Peter.
I have Pam.
Well, I am a great advocate and believer in libraries, and so I feel a little torn on this. What I would like to do, and this is, I will... probably not support this particular one, but I think that I will support the next one, which is this reducing the structural deficit, but I want to see us not only put $50,000 into Target this year, but I think we need to talk about increasing that amount of money until we have taken care of this problem over the next several years, because these things just, we can get away with this for a while. But in the end, it erodes so many things in the organization. I mean, it erodes the morale of employees when they they don't feel as if they're able to finish a job. It erodes the confidence that people have that they can go to the library and get good information. And certainly it erodes our feeling of accomplishment in not being able to fund and take care of the needs of such an incredibly important organization to our community and to our democracy as the public library is. So I am very much in favor of our following on what Dooley has sent out to all of us about we need to deal with these structural deficits and begin to take care of that, and I am much in favor of that. So I will not be voting for this particular OTR.
Back to you, Dooley.
I just wanted to take issue with Mr. Stein's characterization of an additional library as saddling the library with additional expenses. It's helping the library get the work done. The additional expenses are our responsibility, not the library's, in that sense. That's all.
Anyone else? Leslie.
Can I ask a question of Susan? Susan, when is it that you knew from the state what amount of funding you will be getting from them for 2013?
It has been very inconsistent and usually very late. For example, we didn't learn until well into 2012 what we would get for 2011. So we will not. I don't know when.
So
we'll
you don't know.
Out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pat.
I will reiterate what other people have said about the value of the library. I just would like to say that I agree wholeheartedly. I will not be supporting this particular resolution. I'm not sure that I'll support the next one either, but I certainly am going to. I would like to hear how we are going to approach talking about the structural deficit for the library. I know we've set up a task force in the other situation where we have to look at this, and I haven't heard anything about how we're going to approach looking at this situation, and I would like to hear that.
Anyone else? I will not be supporting it, as I did not support the mental health position, as I will not support any other add-on positions that are coming at this late date. All in favor of this, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed, if any? Should be 3 in favor, 9 against. Next one, Dooley.
Yes.
TCPL, reduced structural deficit, 50,000. You want to move it, please?
Yes, it's OTR 76, and I move this first installment.
You are moving. Mike is seconding. And comments?
I think we've all heard that we have this problem. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to have to pay, so I don't think there's much to discuss.
Peter.
Well, I'm not going to vote for this either on the same argument. It's basically the same argument. It's not as if they don't have in their reserves this $50,000 that they can support it. The fact of the matter is, I think this is the time to look at this problem and come to, within the next year, together with the library, a permanent solution for how we're going to fund and what we're going to fund. I think it may just be that we're going to fund somehow a reduced library in some sense if we can't find the money in our resources to support it or find some more efficient way of doing it. But I think we have to face the facts. I don't think it does any good to try to add these little band-aids. I think there's what we're coming to this year is going to be a real hard look at what we can do for the next decade and what's the best we can do for the next decade.
I have Mike and then Pat.
Peter, there's no good solution to these structurals unless we're going to go raid the hotel tax to try to solve all the problems. For the same reason I supported trying to work at the structural defect of the TCAD budget this year and do it in some increments, I think we should also do it with the Tompkins County Public Library. this library has been working very, very hard. They've seen staff reductions. They've, just like all our departments, and they've tried to keep their hours open. They've gone out there and gotten money from a lot of private donors as well as the foundation and friends. And they do a great job for us. And they haven't been whining to us. I can remember times when the library complained an awful lot about we didn't support them as well as they thought we should. We haven't heard that in the last few years. And I think that's a good thing. And I think we need to take a step.
I have Pat, Dooley, and then Martha.
In response partly to what Peter said, I understand that with the library we have a somewhat different situation because as the lead library for the system, we don't have the flexibility to make the kind of reductions that we would if it were a totally independent organization. So I think the problem is even more complicated here. We can't simply say, well, we're going to reduce the services of the library. So, but what I am wondering is, Joe, if you've given any thought to an approach that we might use. Are we going to put together a group to look at this? For this, you know, going into the future, I'm really reluctant to support this $50,000. But on the other hand, I want to see the library continue and be able to, you know, thrive. So I'm just really struggling with this.
Yeah. candidly, we really haven't talked about the specific way we're going to approach this. If you look at the budget message, we tried to really put a flag on this to say that they began this process with a $360,000 deficit. We addressed 159 of it through the OTR that we approved, but there's still a $200,000 gap. Again, frankly, that will grow again in 2014 because there will be wage growth, benefit growth, and things like that. So we did flag it as an issue that's going to have to get resolved over the next probably 9 months. How we do that, I mean, I think the task force approach works pretty well, but I would have to talk to the legislature about if that's the way you choose to do it. It is a good way of bringing a number of stakeholders to the table, though, to talk about a variety of solutions. So unlike TCAD, where we do have thoughts pretty far along about how to approach presenting the problem and looking for solutions, we're not quite that far along with the library, but we're going to have to do something with similar urgency and focus over the next few months.
Abdulie?
Yes, thank you. It's inconceivable to me that however you approach it with whatever group, they will figure out a way to keep the library functioning as it should and can without the county up against contribution. We have divested ourselves of buying books for the library. That's all done by the foundation and the book sale. We have stopped doing so many things that are part of our responsibility, I think, for having a public library for the county. So it's easier to put $50,000 into target 1 year and then an additional amount the next year and an additional amount the next year, and eventually you'll get where you need to be if you're lucky. So I really think we need to start this. We should have started it before this year. And Peter, I understand that this has not had your focus the way many of us have focused on it in the past, so it may seem too simple an approach that I'm taking right now, but I'm convinced that we have to do this.
Martha?
I'm considering an amendment to make this a one-time expense, which helps for a year and then does, you know, gives time to think about it, but I'm not sure that would really help anyway. But this is a real problem. If you'll turn your page over, you'll see that later on I have, towards the bottom, I have a motion of 76,689 to actually remove money that is is in the current budget that has this kind of effect. The idea is that this would help us towards next year's capital program. I'm looking around the table. I'm looking on the wall behind me. And this motion is not a good idea. My motion is not a particularly wise idea. Your motion is a good idea, but I'm looking around the table. I'm looking at the number. And these things don't match. I think if we're going to pass a budget, I don't believe we can put this money in here. And that's also what the source of my resolution on the other side. And it's logical, but what we do is not entirely logical when you look at the whole picture. I can't support it right now.
Peter.
I didn't have my hand raised.
I'm delusional.
Either that or I forgot what I raised it for.
Oh, okay. Are we ready to vote on this? It is a $50,000 target to reduce a structural deficit. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It passed.
All right. Thank you.
Back page.
While Susan is here, I have one on the library.
I'm sorry?
I would like to come back to the youth services later. I just wanted to say something so Amy didn't leave.
And there's another.
Thank you.
That's what
Not
I was just
now.
Saying. I have an old library on here if we can get to that.
I'm sorry, Leslie, what?
I have a library on here if we can get to that.
Oh, all right. Well, Julie, go ahead and say what you're going
to
say.
No, I'm happy to let it wait. I think we should
do
Leslie.
All right. We'll move to.
So I'd like to move to zero out the $20,000 from technology upgrades for the library. That's OTR 78, section 5, page 87.
Where is that?
Is there a second? Dies for a lack of a second. Anything else?
Oh.
Back to the back page. I believe Leslin, new OTR, add $2,500 for interns and PAs out of one time. Leslin, you want to move that?
One time for the Human Rights Office, add $2,500 for interns and project assistants. I move.
Is there a second? Dooley? Discussion?
I just want to say very quickly that, you know, there's the interns and project assistants in this office, because it's such a small office with such a large caseload, do an amazing amount of work to help them keep up with what's going on for a very small amount of money. And I'm hoping that we can support interns and project assistants in this office. Joe, you were going to say something about Sean?
I do. Sean would have liked to be here tonight. She has a family situation, an emergency she's dealing with out of state. Otherwise, she would have been here to speak to this tonight.
Anything else, Leslin? Other people want to comment on it? Peter Stein, Pat, Pam.
I'm reluctant to vote for anything that was not proposed by the department chair. This is from you, Leslin, right? This was not an OTR that was put in by Sean.
It was not an OTR, but we've listened to all the departments and everybody give presentations, and we have put stuff in that everybody has voted on, either
right.
Here or
okay.
There. So.
I had Pat and Pam.
May I very quickly say, Jim,
Yes,
also, right now, it's a department that's operating with just Sean and the receptionist. Hopefully, there'll be, you know, hires within the new year to fill another position. But that's where they are at this point.
Yes, go ahead, Pat.
So, Leslin, I wonder if you could give us a little more information about the current situation over there at the office. I know historically that that office has had interns, and I believe they're down one staff person.
That's correct, and Joe can probably speak better than this than I can.
Okay, so whoever, is that staff position already in the budget?
It's in the budget,
so they're just trying to hire. So how do the interns that you're proposing differ from the interns that they've always historically had over there, I mean, in terms of the funding? Did we cut funding for their interns? Or
they've had more money for interns in the past, and right now there's no money for interns. And Joe, you can help me if I think particularly because there's been some shuffling or shifting of the monies to boost some other position.
Right, there's been some internal changes there to basically bring one title down, elevate another title, so they have two kind of paralegals in that office now, and they're trying to fill those. But there has been a historical pattern of having project assistants or interns in the office, and as a part of what we've been through over the last 3 or 4 years, that was one of the things sacrificed to stay within target within human rights. So the money for those assistants has gone away.
Have those people gone away, or have they been able to? Okay.
They've gone away.
They've gone away.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Someone else had their hand up here.
I did. But Joe just explained what I was going to try to explain, so that's fine.
Could you do it better?
Certainly not.
All in favor of the $2,500, the add-on one time for interns, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed?
7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do it again. Oh, somebody didn't have their hand up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 5. It passes 7-5. Leslin, OTR 52, personnel, move 15K to admin for WDIC. You want to move that, please?
Sure.
Is there a second? Pam?
One second.
Discussion. I have a question. Joe, do you want to?
Well, I can explain it because it may look on the sheet as if it's an add-on. It's really not. It's moving money from one place to another. There is money that we put into the 2013 budget for a training initiative, and it was the sum of two things, and I think we explained that in the budget presentation. $69,000 was for basically unspecified type training for skills and proficiency. The other $15,000 was specific to WDIC, cultural competency, and so forth. All this does is to break out the $15,000 for WDIC-type efforts and bring it into the Department of Administration, which makes sense because Paula Younger, I think, as you know, has taken kind of accountability, executive accountability, over these kinds of initiatives. So it makes sense to put the money there. The reason it was in personnel, all in personnel at the same time, was basically for our convenience in putting the budget together. So this is a logical movement of money from one point to another.
Do we really need to comment on this? I'll
So this is not to support Paula's salary.
Oh, no, no.
It's still training.
It is still training, yes.
The WDIC.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed, Benny? Thank you. You opposed?
No.
Oh. 12-0. Next one, Leslin, OTR 52, change training money to one time, and the amount is $69,000. You want to move that?
Brian asked to interrupt.
I'm sorry?
I did have my hand up in between.
All right.
Just to say, Dooley, you had something for Amy so that she could
go? Because she doesn't have anything else, right?
And there are a whole lot of McBean Clearborns back here. I can wait.
Well, but I'm happy to stay, take whatever you want me to do. It's
Ah, Amy's cool with waiting. She smiles at me.
Why would you rather be in here?
All right.
Never mind.
So I am moving to change the...
You moved it. Is there a second? I didn't.
Yeah, I'll second.
Pam, you get the second on this one. Go ahead, Leslie. Sorry.
So it was changing the training money, the $69,000 that's now left in personnel, to one time. And making sure it was clear that it was $69,000 left out of the $84,000 that was there originally. Because $15,000 has now gone to WDA, to admin.
Anyone else? I have Martha, I have Will, and Peter.
No, but I can speak to this.
This would leave what in the personnel department for training if this is spent next?
In 2014?
Yeah.
Right.
It would drop down to about, I think it's 28 or 30, someplace $25,000 to $35,000, which is where we have dropped our training budget to over the last few years.
And you made a, yeah. I mean, this is a big add, and you've thought about this a lot. Can you describe what your reason
Yeah, was? And I'm going to step outside my normal shoes here because I'm kind of the department head or advocate of this, and usually I try to stay neutral in these. I think it's really important that we make a commitment to training, and I understand what we're trying to do in reducing the effect on levy. But as that roster has gone down by 9%, and we're really not bringing it back much in this budget, I think we all want to make a commitment to those employees to help them, provide them the tools they need to continue operating programs at a smaller roster level. And we've talked about two ways of doing that. One is technology, and you've been very supportive of the technology initiatives in the budget. The other is training. And even though this proposal would not affect training in 2013, there'd still be $69,000. I hope you would agree that if we're going to make a commitment to training, it needs to be a sustained commitment. It can't just be a one-time, or I'd suggest it not be a one-time. So I would hope you give that some consideration when you take a look at this.
I have Will, I have Peter, I have Leslie.
So Joe kind of answered part of my question. The other thing, it comes out of reserves. So is there somewhere on that chart where we can see the declining reserves as we act? Yeah, this is a question for Kevin.
I think Kevin has a sheet that we can consult.
I don't have the total amount of reserves we have and what you're doing, but I do the... move over here. It says use of reserves right here. This is what Joe proposed we use. This is what amendments have created. So the difference is another $112,000 of reserves based on the amendments you've proposed so far.
And Will, if you look at your book on page, section 2, page 6, it'll show you where we're starting this process. So in this budget, between rollover and applied reserves, and this includes some of those big technology purchases that we talked about, we're applying $1,366,000 in reserves and rollover in this budget. That would leave us with an unassigned fund balance of about $13.5 million. That's about 10.4% of our budget. And even though it's not policy we've talked about, that's a pretty good place to be with respect to fund balance. So any additional draws, we can keep that tally going for you to see where we're going.
Thank you,
Kevin. Is that number of amendments as proposed but not voted on yet?
No, this is amendments as proposed. This is the changes you've voted for so far.
That we have voted so
have
far.
Have voted for so
Tuesday
far.
Night.
I have Peter.
Well, I'm going to vote against this. I don't have a broad knowledge or understanding of our personnel department and of the training that we do. And so what I say is from a little piece of insight that I've had, and that's with the work I've been doing on the dispatch center. And from that, I become convinced that at least for that program that we are going to have to start spending a whole lot more for training than we have in the past. And I think that's maybe that the fact that we have not, I think, supported the training aspect of that program sufficiently in the past may be repeated elsewhere. But at a time when I'm seeing what I think is increasing expenses to do training just to keep people at the level that they should be at, not to advance, but just to keep them current in what they're supposed to be doing, that I am reluctant to take out training funds.
I have Leslin, back to you, and then Pam.
Thank you. I'm going to ask a clarifying question of Joe. Every department has their own training line. Is that correct?
Every department has a travel and training line.
Travel and training line.
So, and go ahead. Yes.
Okay. And then there's personnel that does, you know, offer trainings that anybody can attend. It's not necessarily training for 911 or training for the health department. It's general training. So, let me make my comments. And I'm not zeroing out. I'm not taking away any training monies. All I'm asking for this to be one time. And here's my reasoning. I've been looking at very carefully at this, and I've had this conversation with Joe earlier this year, whenever, about us really sitting down and doing some good planning around what we're offering for training. Also, having a conversation with the folks at the Human Services Coalition just recently, just the other night, and also through WDIC and our personnel department about how can we be more active in collaborating around training opportunities. And so my hope is that within this next year that there would be more conversation so that we are strategic about what's being offered, et cetera. I'm going to take some liberties and say that I don't think that anybody in this room is more committed to training and development for our employees than I am. I most certainly am, and always support that. I'm always whining that we don't have monies to send people to trainings when we should. Otherwise, how will they keep up? So the idea of moving this to one time is to allow us the opportunity to be really strategic about our plans for what trainings we're offering. I'm concerned about the number of trainings that get offered, and I don't think that we have large numbers of employees showing up for those trainings. Some we do, some we don't. And I think it's because of just really, you know, doing that needs assessment, understanding where people are, what's needed, looking at the survey that came out, the WDIC did, and planning accordingly. That's why I was moving this to one time, not taking it away. It's still there for next year, and my hope is at the end of next year we would have a good plan, an understanding of in place of what are the needs, so that the following year we can revisit this to a target that's constantly in the budget, making sure that we have training and development satisfied in the budget. That's my reasoning behind this. It didn't have anything to do with the tax levy. It didn't have anything to do with the tax rate. It just had to do with us really sitting down and planning appropriately. That's it.
Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry, Pam.
I pass.
Martha.
Well, I looked at I was looking at the social services, the Human Services Coalition training list the other day, and I think I have it in this pile of papers. It's really not related to stuff our department has or our staff does for the most part. I'm also looking at, I mean, the idea that travel and training are lumped together in one line is very confusing. For example, the legislature. We've got 4,000 in travel and training. Well, we barely can get through the year with that just on travel for us to go to NYSAC conferences, for example, and it doesn't include any training. I've looked at other, you know, other departments quickly here, and you know, many of them are sort of similar orders of magnitude. And I mean, we depend on, for example, Lisa and Patricia and Amy to go to Albany to be part of their professional conferences to know what's going on, and that's just for starters, in addition to actual training that staff might want to, you know, might benefit from. So I don't know if this is a suggestion for another time, if it's too confusing, too granular to try to separate travel and training, if what we really need to know is how much is literally spent on training that's not clear in this. But I, all that said, I think it's a great idea to have a concerted look at what we offer countywide and within departments, but I don't think taking the money out at this point is the, or making it one time.
No, thank you.
is the right approach, because I'm pretty sure we're going to need it.
I have Brian, Frank, Pat, Leslie, and me, Dovey.
I've had.
Frank?
Thanks, Jim.
You are, you're right after him.
Okay, thank you. Just didn't hear you say. Thank you.
Listen, reluctantly, I'm not going to support your resolution or your motion. Reason being, from what I remember from discussions with using the health department as an example, we were told a couple of years back that our employees are reaching, of all things, retirement age. And there's a number of people who are going to have to be replaced. And even though there's, I've heard this expression used a lot lately, I don't want to get mired in the weeds and have to be separating travel and training. We all have our proclivities, and some of us have been proponents of individuals that go to these conferences should bring the information back and then spread it out among the rest of us included. I don't think this is the time to change this to one time, because I would be worried that our staff, regardless of what department it is, needs to be kept abreast. And also, Joe mentioned technology. I mean, you know, I'm probably the most challenged of any of you regarding technology, although I know how to push the send button now. The concern I have is we haven't been overly generous with our raises. And I think one of the places that we can help our staff is in training. And I certainly think that we ought to keep this in as a, not as a one-time expense, but as a target. And I'm as interested in seeing that 375 come down as anybody else, but I don't think we ought to do it on this one.
I have Pat.
Well, I am going to support this, and I appreciate that Leslie has put a lot of thought into this, and I have had some similar ideas kind of floating around and trying to think how to describe what I think it is that we might do going forward to take a look at our training in an organization-wide structured sort of way. So I think that the idea is a really good one. I think that by putting it into one time for this coming year, that that would be the first step in saying we're going to very seriously take a look at this, and we want to develop a plan and do it in a very comprehensive, structured kind of way. And so I am going to support this.
We're back to you, Leslie.
Thank you.
I have you too.
Martha, I have to disagree with you about the service, the trainings offered by the Human Services Coalition, that our employees don't benefit from there, because there are some of the very same trainings that we offered. I've seen trainings around cultural competency. I've seen trainings around job proficiency, trainings around being an effective supervisor. So those are some of the very things that we offer as well. So, you know, I'm not sure that they're all that different. I don't want to repeat myself, but married to weeds and proponents and proclivities and all this fancy word Frank is using, I am not taking away training money. I am leaving training money. Okay. Joe, am I wrong about having a conversation about some of the strategic thinking we need to do around training and making sure that what we're offering is what we need?
Right?
Yes.
No, we're on the same page, but if I can just continue from there. We want to make that sustainable. We've cut our training budget over the past few years to the bone. We want to build it up so that we know year after year we have the capacity to train our employees and give them the kind of training that we find best for them. So should we look at this strategically and figure out what are those training programs to make our folks proficient, to relieve stress, to do their jobs extremely well, to advance their careers? Yes. We need to take time to do that, and we already have a number of department heads who have volunteered to work on that.
Right.
The issue is only the permanency of the funding, and nothing's permanent. But right. if this were to pass, the money would certainly be there in 2013. But come 2014, you would have to raise property taxes. We would have to get it back in target to be able to sustain those programs that you want to create this year. And that's my pitch, and I'm an advocate on this. That's my pitch. To make it target as opposed to one time.
I hear you. Raise property taxes this year, raise property taxes next year. We're still doing the same thing. Okay? Except I feel very strongly that come next year we will have a better plan in place that we can support with this and even more money for training. Because I think this is not enough. I'd like to see more. But I still feel the same way. I mean, I don't want to belabor if these people will vote where they will vote, and that's all right with me. I just want to make sure people heard what I'm saying. Not taking away money. Not from training.
I will not support this. I think it should be left in target. It's clear. There's many things said here that we have low numbers of people going to training. I don't know that could be accurate or not, but the point is
I said some, Jim, not all.
Okay, some of the programs we've been involved in, Lean Office, I think was a very successful program, and I, you know, having been involved in an organization that did training all the time, if you've been a teacher or around an educational organization, you have to demonstrate a commitment to that, and then your department heads have to demonstrate a commitment to that. And I think if you have it in target, people are more apt to say things that, you know, I want you to go to this thing, because all of us understand that no one can be forced to go to these things. Dooley, Martha, Peter, Pam.
Les, and I'm very glad you brought up the issue of making sure that we're getting what we really need out of training and planning a comprehensive menu. But I'd much rather not have to go through the argument of putting it back into target. It's much safer to leave it into target and revise the program, not the budget. So I can't support it either. I just wanted you to... No.
Well, thank you.
Martha?
Well, I found the latest Human Services, well, June to September, Human Services Coalition. Now, you're right, there's some overlap, like dealing with difficult people,
yeah.
Managing conflict in the workplace.
Yes.
How about how to ask for a lot of money?
Yes.
In here. I have to say, I think it is absolutely a good idea to have some serious conversations about coordinating training. But it's also really important. Joe, you said how much, $69,000, how much per employee, remind me?
Like, it's a little less than $100 per employee.
Okay.
We have about 700 employees.
So that's maybe, is that a workshop or two workshops, or what is that sort of?
It's kind of hard to break it down that way.
Yeah.
It's something to put it into perspective.
Okay. I mean, I think we really have we've already identified some serious problems we're going to have to deal with next year. And I think if we take this in as one time this year, I think we'll walk away from it next year. I'm worried about that.
I have a question.
It's actually Peter's turn. Can we
put me on the list again?
All right.
Please?
Peter, go ahead.
Well, we all have to vote on that from where we see. I'm always a little bit puzzled by this one-time thing because we act as if one time is free. It doesn't come from the tax base. But, of course, it comes from the tax base. It may not in the figures that you draw, but it's money that we don't have to spend once we spend it for something else. So it is, in the end, it's a burden on the taxpayers that they've already paid in the past. Now, I happen to believe from my limited experience that we're going to have to spend more money on training than we spend at the moment. I think that from a couple of things that I've personally seen, we don't spend enough. And if I believe that, I think it's going to be a whole lot harder to sell that once we've taken it off of target. Because then the little thing that Kevin shows is going to show that when I say I want to increase it to more than it was before, the number that increase on the tax rate is going to be very big. And people will say, well, we can't afford to do that. If I was trying to kill the training program, I don't think that you're trying to do this, but if I were trying to kill the training program, I think I'd make the same argument that you're doing at the moment. Namely, let's take it off, let's look at it, and then come back and put it on in the future, because I know it's going to be a harder sell next year to go for a bigger number than it is now, than it is this year to just leave it there and make a small increase in it the next year. So
I'm glad you realize that I'm not killing a training program.
I didn't
Thank
say
you.
I didn't
I said
say
I'm glad
that.
You realize it.
Hey, okay, I Thank accept you. What you say, but that's what I think will be the impact of it.
Hep Hammond, Mike, and Dooley.
Well, I don't think there is anything particularly onerous about stepping back and evaluating how effective our training is and looking at it and looking if there are ways that we can form coalitions around training and share costs. And I think that if this is funded as one-time money, I think there is a motivation for that to happen this year. I think if we just leave it in target, I think that the tendency is for things to just go along as they have been. And I think that it is one way that we, in my mind, that we have a way to check what we are doing and look at our performance on these issues. And I do think that that in public budgets and public policy, that sometimes keeping things the way they are is the way that people like them to be. And I don't think that that is necessarily the best way. And I think that putting a little edge to this money in terms of the expectation that there will actually be some changes and some results and some discussion that goes on, I think makes it well worth putting it in one time. I can't imagine this group not supporting training. And so I have every confidence that just putting it into one time for 1 year will not jeopardize our commitment to training our employees, but will rather allow us to have a fresh look at what we do and how we do it, and if there isn't a better way for that to happen. So I will support Leslin's motion.
Mike.
I'd like to call a question, please.
Is there a second to that? All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed to calling the question, 1, 2, 2. 10-2. Question has been called. It's changing $69,000 from target to one time. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It fails.
Jim?
Yes?
May I ask my question about this, even though it's been voted on?
Oh, sure.
I'm looking at page 4-293, which is the personnel department replacement page. And for travel and training, 2010 it was $2,700, 2011 it was $1,500, 2012 it was $1,200, and the target starting 2013 was $1,000. And my question is, how did it get to be that low?
How to get to be that what?
Low. It's a very strange funding history.
And I'm looking at professional services in here, too.
Because it's the one place that...
Yeah. I think we've contracted with... Since much of our training is now via TC3.biz, we contract with them, or we, and that includes the smart work. So I believe what used to be in travel training, at least some of that is now in professional services.
Okay, thank you.
Leslin, you up again?
Yes, I'm up again with social services. And more than anything else, I need an explanation of the numbers, how the numbers... The social welfare examiner, what is this? Section 4, page 352.
Will you move it, please?
How, can I get an explanation of how those numbers are working? I didn't quite understand it.
They get state reimbursement for through Medicaid and other sources from the state and federal government.
So there's state reimbursement for that $15,293?
No,
that
no,
gets
so
reimbursed
the,
by the state?
The total, so, oh, there they, so the way you see it there, it says zero on one side and...
Uh-huh.
So the zero there, the 5499 account is rollover. They were proposing to use their rollover money to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And that would essentially be one of those situations where we're using reserves to pay for something that's ongoing. So Joe said, no, don't use your rollover for that. We'll just fund it.
I see.
So this is the whole one-time target thing. We used to call them Tylers. That doesn't, again, I don't
okay,
like that.
Okay, the Tylers made sense to me. I got it now. So is this $15,293 that you're recommending, Joe, reimbursed by the state?
Those are all the costs that are not reimbursed by the state. So what's left, am I explaining this right, Kevin,
yep,
is $15,293 that we have to pay for.
So it's a full-time person?
It's, yeah, it's a full-time person, but there's $15,293 left for us to pay for.
So, go ahead.
So,
you realize, of course, we have no motion on this.
I know. I'm trying to get an explanation before I move. This was one of those that I had that you're saying, depending on what I hear. So this, the position, I'm confused.
Okay, so there is a person, and that person makes $43,610.
Is there a person in this position?
Yes.
There is a person in this position. Then I will not I will not introduce that motion. Thank you.
Okay.
And the other one I'm withdrawing.
So they remove, you're withdrawing the social welfare
contracts.
Examiner. You're not going to move that.
I'm not going to move that.
Okay, and the next one.
I'm withdrawing the yes,
the one we're on.
And you're reducing cops, that one's withdrawn?
That's withdrawn.
That's withdrawn.
Could I jump
that
in here now with youth services?
I have a question while we're on that page about rollover, if I could. Kevin, the fact that at 15-2 on the left column of the requested, at 15-293 says target, but it's their rollover account.
Let me answer that. that's the way it was proposed. The department said we value this position. We are prepared to put our rollover money behind it. We looked at this because it is in their base roster as something. If we're going to do it, we want to do it for the long haul. So we said this is not an appropriate use of rollover, which we try to limit to one time.
Right.
So we said, no, we're not going to apply the rollover. We will fund that with target dollars, and that's the $15,293.
Right, but I'm not smart enough to know that $54,999 is the rollover account.
Okay.
I thought we used to see these so that it would say under request.
It was a mistake on my part when I made the.
Normally that would say rollover on their requested side.
It would say what the account is. It would say the position and all that too.
So that
you would know that 58800 is fringes. You would know that 5100 558 is the senior social welfare examiner.
Okay.
And you would know that 44611 is a state reimbursement.
Okay.
Federal reimbursement.
And that the last one is rollover. Okay, thanks.
And 54999 is always rollover. Whenever you see it, that's rollover.
So I'm going to remember that.
It's an easy one to remember.
I'm going to play those numbers. 54999.
Thank you.
That was the break in the meeting where we just kind of talked without any money. That was good.
Well, it's clarification, Jim, because yeah. I want to know so exactly. I need to introduce.